All Things Financial with Mel Shanley. Brought to you by Quantum Life Ireland, always helping people to get what they want.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
No, we'll make it sound professional.
That's a blast from the past.
Isn't it? I forgot we had it and somebody pointed it out to me and went, oh, we have that. And I went, oh yeah, there we go.
Do sounds I leave the good. Headphones no, on
you can
now?
Take them off if you want. You're Thank not used you. To wearing them. There you go. Now, Mel is coming in to have a chat about all things mortgages. And I suppose it's an important topic to talk about because people seem to be able to start to get mortgages again, aren't they?
Yeah, there appears to be a little bit of liquidity, as they call it, cash flowing around in the banks. But it is difficult now and it's very hard to get. But just we wanted to bring a few things to people's attention this morning. It's not gone back to the good old days of when you could walk into a bank, building society or finance house and you could nearly walk out with the money in a briefcase.
And it did happen.
It did happen.
At one point there was a... Because I remember I myself availed of 100% mortgage, but I know of people who got 110% mortgages,
oh, I'd say so.
Which was scary at the time.
And sometimes they'd nearly ask you, was that enough? Did you want any more than that?
I got that question. Are you sure that's enough? And you're like, no. I'm
and it's
good
not
thanks.
Too. It's not too long ago where those fantastic pretend or machia, as we say in Cork, those machia checks used to arrive in the post with your name on it. And 8,000 and 10,000 and
it's
all you had to do.
When you look back on it, it's little wonder that the bubble burst.
Oh,
like,
it's
really
crazy
is
stuff.
Little wonder.
But anyway, back to reality. So here we are in 2019 and there are people out there that are still suffering from possibly their last and only mortgage, how they're going to hold on to the house they're in and pay the mortgage they have, etc., etc. But for those people that are looking to borrow money now, and particularly mortgages, the trends seem to be going back now to the mortgage brokers. Okay, so again, it's about educating yourself online. If you're going looking for a mortgage, you can get some mortgage comparison sites where you can see what you're expected to pay for a mortgage now and the type of mortgage, whether it's a variable rate mortgage or a fixed rate mortgage and over which term. But when it comes to finding somebody to actually help you get the money, because it is really difficult now to find a lender to actually give you what you want, it appears now the trends are back again with mortgage brokers. So definitely check out the availability of mortgage brokers in your area. See who's offering the services. Check out what fees they're charging beforehand. A mortgage broker probably doesn't have much more than maybe half a dozen lenders now that they can actually target, but at least they can target half a dozen. Whereas if you're on your own and you're a little bit nervous or dubious about where you may or may not get money, and you know, lenders now have got very, very finicky. So if you don't save with them, sometimes they're not interested in you because you're not on an existing customer, or they may not be too interested in you if you don't have a permanent job. A lot of people now have kind of full-time contracted employment, stuff like that, which is difficult to use those employments as a lending criteria doesn't suit those particular employments. But the mortgage broker now appears to be back on the scene again as a very helpful entity in the whole process. Okay,
let's go through just a couple of things that regularly comes up when people think about mortgages, particularly if they're just starting out to get a mortgage. Deposits. What are the deposit requirements now in general terms? I know it'll vary lender, but in general terms.
In general terms, you will still get a 90% loan, a 90% mortgage. So you typically have to have at least 10% of the property price. So let's pretend for the moment that you're buying a three-bedroom semi in a housing estate in town that's going to cost, I don't know, let's say, just say 150,000, okay? So 10% of 150,000 is 15,000. Plus you'd probably want to have, you know, a few thousand euros set aside for legal fees and your solicitor and conveyancy and maybe the engineer's report and stuff like that. So let's say on a 150,000 euro house, you probably want to have at least 20,000 saved, you know, before you would be, you know, considered a credible mortgagee or a credible person to go to look for to finance the rest. But obviously, it has to be said, the more money you have, the better. But from 10% upwards, they will talk to you, definitely. Okay. So after that, it's whether it's you or you and a partner or a spouse are going to go forward together with a combined income, or whether it's just your own income. So looking at the income side of things, again, depending on your occupation, depending on the permanency of your contract or your employment. I mean, the old traditional favourites obviously are guards, teachers and nurses. I mean, they still are very, very strong applicants for mortgages. And, you know, unless you would have bad credit history or a short-term employment contract, you would be pretty good when it had come to looking for a mortgage. So it's typically between 2 and 4 times your net relevant earnings, as they call it, right? Which would be the money that you've left after paying tax is typically what they would offer you, you know?
And again, I suppose that'll come down to, like, if you're dealing with a mortgage broker here, that's where they'll be able to guide you. Because different lending institutions have different lending criteria, don't they?
Correct. And look, I'm not trumpeting the mortgage broking world. I mean, I used to be mortgage broking myself back in the 90s. But certainly people need help. They absolutely need help now in the current climate. And usually mortgage brokers, like typically a mortgage broker will get paid possibly something like a 1% introducer's commission by the actual lender. So let's say you're borrowing 150,000. The mortgage broker will get 1,500 euros of a commission from the lender if you draw down that mortgage. If you qualify and if you're successful and if you draw down the mortgage, they'll get a fee of 1,500 euros. Now, that might sound like a lot of money, and mortgage brokers have to do an awful lot of work. They actually might charge an additional fee on top of that. So check it out first before you commit. But they'll also set up possibly your mortgage protection policy, your house insurance, stuff like that. So they might earn an extra little bit of commission on those. But typically, that's how they earn their crust. But they're certainly, they know all the little tricks. They know all the little hurdles that have to be jumped or knocked over in order to get you what you want.
A lot of people talk about gifts when it comes to deposits, and I think gifts are one of these things, I suppose, needs a bit of clarification. Sometimes if you speak to a lender, they will say you need a 10% deposit via savings or a gift.
Yeah.
Can you clarify the gift?
Okay. So what I've seen an awful lot of these over the years, right? And typically it's a parent or a relative will help out a son or daughter, or niece or nephew or something to give them a start in life. And even though it's classified as a gift, most parents would like to think that I'm going to give Johnny a lend of 20,000, but I want it back. Like.
Yeah. unless you're very fortunate, you want it back. Yes.
So when Johnny goes into the bank and says, listen, I've got 20,000 off my father and there it is in my bank account there. I lodged it there the other day. And they'd say, yeah, but Johnny, you have to give that back. I know, he said, 'tis grand, there's no problem. It has to be a little bit more concrete than that. So usually what you would get is you would get just a one-liner signed by the parent and dated to say that this gift, as you'd call it, is a gift to my son or daughter, my niece or nephew, that I am happy to pass over now while I'm still alive. It's not money that I'm expecting to be returned to me. Our words to that effect.
Yeah.
And that's really, and that person signs that one-liner then and dates it.
Yeah.
So when you do go to the mortgage broker or the bank, you can't give them any more than this. Look, there's the reason where I got the money. The money's sitting in my deposit account. There's the letter that claims it was a gift. I don't have to give it back. So therefore, it doesn't have to come off my bottom line, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how people usually get around it.
And that's typically from a blood relative, isn't it? You can't just get that from Like, you couldn't give me, and I'd love if you did, but you couldn't give me 20,000 as a gift towards a deposit, or could you?
Of course I could.
Can you?
Absolutely.
See, some people, again, that probably needs clarification, because a lot of people think it has to be a blood relative.
No. You can get a gift off of anybody. And just a little sideshow on this, there is an annual gift exemption of 3,000 euros. Now, I know 3,000 euros won't cut it in this example, but I could decide, just because I'm a nice fella, decide to give you, Linda, a gift every Christmas of 3,000 euros for the rest of my life.
Will you?
No.
Okay.
And you have absolutely no inheritance or gift tax liability on that 3,000 euros because it's exempt. It's
okay.
The annual exemption limit. So here's the trick. Let's say, for example, there was a plan to buy or build a house in some years to come, and a niece or a nephew. We talked about it before on the show about gifting over money. So technically, if I had a godchild or a non-blood relative that I wanted to give a start to, and they were maybe doing their leaving cert, and by the time they'd be through college and get a job, I might say, look, I'll start putting 3,000 euros a year away into an account in their name. And over the next 5 years, I'll have put 15,000 away, maybe 6 years, 18,000, so on, so on. So that's one way of building up that little war chest that the non-blood relative might require when it comes to actually coming up with the deposit for the mortgage. But getting back to the actual deposit and gifting, anybody can give you money. There may be an inheritance tax issue with that, because if I give you 20,000 euros, you're only entitled, in your lifetime, you're entitled to, off the top of my head, inherit about 16,000 from a non-blood relative or an unrelated person, I think, in your whole lifetime. And then you must pay typically 33 to 35% inheritance tax on the balance. So you can inherit money from anybody, but there may be a tax issue depending on the amount.
So just bear in mind tax implications if you're getting
there
from
might
non-blood.
Be, yeah.
We're running out of time, but I want to cover this one. There's two more things I want to cover, because I think they're the ones that are causing people most concerns. Does rent count as ability to pay when a lender looks at it?
Again, it depends. And this is a bit of a grey area, right? And just quickly, I mean, it seems ridiculous that somebody might be paying 1,000 or 1,100 or 1,200 euros a month rent on a place, and then they go into a bank or building society and the mortgage is only 1,000, and they try to tell them they can't afford it. And they say, but sure, look, here's proof of rent. So again, this is where the mortgage broker is really, really helpful, that they can put forward a case that here is a track record of rental income rental payments. An unblemished record of rental payments, which again shows the ability to repay. And that has to count for something when it comes to showing your ability to repay the mortgage. Because if you're able to pay that amount of money back, but you're back to income again. So it is a tricky one. You know, there is a formula that the lenders will say, look, I don't care how much rent you're paying. If your net salary doesn't cover our lending criteria, well, then it's tough luck.
Yeah.
So that's where the mortgage broker would be really, really helpful. They just build a really strong case around the application before they submit it. And they're submitting it maybe to anything up to half a dozen different lenders. So that's where you need to focus on there, you know.
The final one I want to cover, because I think it's often a group of people that, when all these mortgage things and incentives and everything comes out, I think this particular group of people tend to get forgotten about. And that's people that bought back in the boom, that found themselves in negative equity, that might just be crawling out of it now. Literally just crawling out of it now. What are the deposit requirements like for those particular group of people? Are we talking 10% or are we talking 20%, because they're technically not first-time buyers? Or is that dependent again on lenders?
Yeah, exactly. And you see, look, through no fault of their own, a lot of people would have a blemished credit record of some description over the last 10 or 12 or 15 years. And there is evidence now that a lot of lenders are actually looking the other way, in relation to some of these credit records, because they know that, like, there was a huge percentage of the population where, through no fault of their own, had their names and numbers listed on the Irish Credit Bureau as being a poor pay or a slow pay or a total and utter defaulter. So again, look, there's no science to this, because it still is very, very tricky to get a mortgage. But people that are coming out of, I suppose, that last snowstorm of negative equity and interest only mortgages and stuff like that, they would, depending on the lender, again, they would put the same lending criteria on you as everybody else. So they wouldn't discriminate, good or bad, whether you had a tough time in the past. They're going to give you a break, not necessarily. But again, I keep coming back to the mortgage broker. They're going to be so much more helpful now than ever before, because they know now what all the little hurdles are and what documentation is required to put together in the package to make the mortgage application look stronger than ever.
Yeah.
And so that's the message today, you know.
Yeah. Mel, as always, thanks a million for coming in. I mean, it's the thing about mortgages, you could actually talk all day about
all
them, because
day.
There's so many ins and outs,
yeah,
and pitfalls and all of this stuff in it. So we might actually touch base on this again,
yes,
in a couple of months, because I think people are very interested in it. Thank you for coming in to me.
Thanks, Linda. Talk to you soon.
I'll hop back in your car now and get down to Dungarvan. That was Mel Shanley of Quantum Life.